yeah, and I'm taking these little weanlings, and then, you know, you see them grow up, and, you know, and then you know, they turn three, and then, you know, you break them, and then you take them to the first event when they're four, and, you know, you've had a part of the whole, every part of it, you know, you've been, you know, there. So, no, it's, like I said, it's definitely the best part of my job.
Welcome to the Major League Eventing Podcast, the show for eventing fans by eventing fans. Everyone knows how much we love mane and tail. And recently, our little Stanley got a rash under his neck.
Yeah, so right under his collar, he got a rash. He started scratching. It got really, really red. I got worried. Well, we got worried, and we took him to the vet. So as everyone knows, we've talked about before on the show that our Sparky has bad coat and bad skin, and he's had allergies his whole life, and we've always struggled with that. And now here's Stanley started with us. So we were very worried, took him to the vet, and the vet said, you know what the vet said, Karen?
She said, use mane and tail Protect.
Protect line. So here's the deal. You can use Protect every day on that hot spot, scratches.
Rain rot. Ringworm.
Ringworm. So there's directions on the bottle. Get the bottle, but you can use it every day. But the key is you got to let it sit on their coat for about 10 or 15 minutes. Let it really soak in, because that contact is what's going to fix this. And let it dry really well. Don't let the water fester on there. So what we have to do is we have to let Stanley's collar off and let it air out really good. We don't want any moisture, which we think is possibly him running around and creeks and swimming and all types of stuff. You know how the barn dogs are. You have a barn dog at all. So Karen, tell us a little bit more about the Protect line shampoo.
So it's a veterinary strength medicated shampoo that provides a complete cleaning and protection treatment of topical skin problems.
So it's antifungal, antibacterial, does all the above. Mm-hmm. Fantastic stuff.
And it is pH balanced and safe for daily use.
Yeah. So, and that's what I didn't realize, is that we can use it every day to get this stuff cleared up. And we're using it every day. And our dogs are, it's amazing. It's night and day how fast it cleared up. So I would use it, but I would use it like once every week. And it just wasn't enough contact. Right. So get that. And then they also have, for in between baths, you just say you don't have time to give them a bath, topical spray. So they have a Protect line spray. It's an anti-wound spray. Same thing, you know, if your horse, your dog, your cat, who knows? But we know these barn dogs, they're out there running around, getting into water, you know, water jumps on cross country and stuff like that. So really, really fantastic stuff. So Karen, people, how do people learn more?
Just go to maneandtailequine.com.
And get it at your local tech shop, right, Karen?
Yes.
Triple Crown Feed.
Oh,
Karen.
Yeah.
Triple Crown, big fans of Triple Crown Feed. They have tons of great products out there, mm-hmm. Premium stuff. Karen, what do you got to say over there?
So Triple Crown has formulas that are tailored to your horse's unique needs and help support immunity and gut health. Find your local Triple Crown Feed dealer by going to triplecrownfeed.com.
TripleCrownFeed.com. That's a little bit of a tongue twister. TripleCrownFeed.com. They have a great feed locator. They have a great feed comparison tool on their website. I encourage everyone to get over there. Check out Triple Crown Feed's website. Check out the different products. Check out what makes them so special. And give them a shot, right, Karen?
Oh, yeah.
Support the people that support the show.
And we'd like to welcome our newest sponsor, Patricia Scott Insurance. Now, Trish is very passionate about helping those who share her love of horses. With over 30 years of experience in writing equine insurance, and she's also an FEI licensed to eventing steward, she understands the unique risks and liabilities faced by horse farm and ranch owners. And she's able to tailor your policy to meet your specific needs. Don't risk your passion. Get insured today. Now, Trish is always only a phone call away, so you can call her at 484-319-8923. The holidays are right around the corner, and Fairfax and Favor has some amazing deals for you and a lot of great products, especially the Francis jacket. Now, at the Maryland 5-star, I kept eyeing this jacket. It was navy suede. And they also have it in the tan suede, but the navy suede kept just calling my name. And finally, I decided to try it on and I just couldn't take it off. And it's just so warm. It's so soft. And every time I wear it, I get so many compliments. People ask me where I got this jacket. So to get yours, you need to go to fairfaxandfavor.com.
I'm Robbie.
And I'm Karen. And Robbie, we have another special guest. I know, yeah. I say it every time, but this week, probably, I don't know, I'd probably get in trouble for saying it, but probably my favorite Canadian.
Has to be.
But he's now a U.S. citizen. So welcome to the show, 3-star rider Bradley Champagne.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So, Brad, you've been on before. You were on the Wendora crew, number 25, episode 25, back in September of 2018. So about 5 years ago. So it's been a while.
Yeah. It's been a minute.
Lots of things have changed since then.
Yeah. And then you were also a guest on the MD 5-star radio. Got to hear all about the Young Event Horse and everything you have going on there.
Yeah. That was awesome to be on that, to, you know, just let everyone know what was going on. So
yeah,
and thank you for having me on that.
Absolutely, yeah. We love talking to you. You know, we've known you for a long time.
Good bit.
I feel like you're one of my sons now. But before we get into everything, can you tell us where you're coming to us from?
Yeah. So I am coming from basically right next to, I live in the an apartment in Gould House property that Boyd owns and rent right now. Actually, Alex Conrad is renting this out, so we see him, you know, every day, and he's awesome, and all of his, you know, team is really nice. But it's very convenient to be, you know, literally, you know, one turn away from, you know, from work. So it works out very, very well. It's awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, I've seen that schoolhouse start from being a school and then turning into like these really nice apartments and, or I mean, I guess like dorm rooms and then even a barn. So, you know, really nice living accommodations, better than what I know you guys started with.
I think everything's a little bit, you know, up a bit, but I think the old living situations made everyone very, you know, thankful for what we have now. And I'm sure everyone would say that they all made us a little bit, you know, harder in the, you know, thicker skin and a little bit harder in the day to day. So it was, you know, we're very thankful for what we have now.
Yeah. I think when we first met you, you were living in an RV or a camper back in the day.
Yeah. So when I first moved here from Canada, I had a RV at home. And so my mom drove the horse down and I drove the RV down and I parked it there for at Wendora for however many years. I think it was 4 years I lived in it, I think. And then I sold it for like, I think it was like a couple thousand dollars. And it's actually still, you know, I'm not really sure what it looks like inside. I don't really think I want to know what it looks like inside, but it's still, you know, it's still being used, so it was worth it.
Yeah, I bet. You could always use the money. All right, so Brad, take us back and tell us how you got your start in riding and then into eventing.
Absolutely. My mom always, you know, had been in horses, and she did a lot of hunters and hunter paces and fox hunting at home. Then I kind of was always around horses and everything. So it's either, you know, it was horses and hockey, you know, was how every, you know, equestrian Canadian male or female probably grew up. So it was, you know, in the winters we would kind of split everything between that, and then it just kind of started getting more and more intense with, you know.
So I started taking lessons at a local barn, and then you know, asked for a pony, which was, you know, mom wasn't too happy about, but yeah, and then I, you know, got that, and then just kind of kept going from there. And then we had a fox hunting clinic that was a little bit fox hunting, a little bit eventing, and I did that one time, and that was kind of it. You know, I just realized that it was kind of everything I wanted to do. So I had no idea about dressage. That was never a thing, and I don't really know if I still have any idea, but everything, I mean, every other aspects of it was exactly what I, you know, wanted. So it was kind of, that was it, and it just kind of kept going up and up from there. And then went to, you know, after high school, went to college for a little bit, and you know, brought my horse there, and was with Michelle Mueller, who went to the London Olympics. I rode with her for a little bit, and kind of realized that the school wasn't really my thing, so left there. And I was riding with a guy before I even went to college. I was riding with a guy named Gary Roque in Canada. So I went to work for him after college for a little bit. And then after that, worked for Carl Slezak for a little while. And then from there, I went to Boyd's. So
yeah, and the rest is history, pretty much. Yeah. So what?
Yeah. Yeah.
What was the reasoning for coming to work for Boyd after being with Carl?
I was in Florida, because obviously, you know, every eventer in Canada can't, you know, ride all year round outside. So we were in Ocala for, I think, 6 months out of the year at that time. I think it may have been a little bit less, but and they're just kind of, you know, looking for the next kind of step. And I saw that Boyd was hiring or looking for, you know, help. So I messaged Lindsay Taylor, his old groom, and met her at actually the Kentucky 3-day event. Met her there and just kind of, you know, said, I'll, you know, come down for a little bit. And that was it. So.
Yeah. 6 months down in Florida is not too bad.
No,
that's a nice way to be coming down to the States.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was pretty sweet. Yeah. No, I think it's, you know, I think, I mean, obviously a lot of Canadians have to do that, but it's definitely not a terrible part of the job. You know, I think we were down there from January till, well, at that point, I think it was only from January until April at that point. Actually they own a farm down now, Carl and his wife, and they've, you know, built a really great business in Ocala year round. So, you know, it all kind of worked out well. So,
yeah. And so at what point did you decide that this is what you wanted to do for the rest of your life?
I think there was a moment when I was in college, actually. I was there. I had some paper due. I don't know what it was, but I was driving back from the barn, and the drive was about an hour each way. Like, it wasn't a small drive, because I didn't really want to ride with anyone, and, you know, I've known Michelle for a little while. So it kind of, worked out where, I was home or she was, and I was driving back. The paper was due, and I kind of had choices here, kind of move from this, or I can, say, the horses wait and else, focus more on school. And there was just something in me that said, I just go all in on the horses. So.
And what were you majoring in?
Psychology.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, do you even remember?
It was psychology, and then I was doing some forensic science thing, I think, as well. So, it was a lot, and it's hard to do two things at once, as at the level that I, how it all happened.
Now, okay, so I remember, I forget the name of your horse when you were first there.
Was that Wally?
No, it wasn't Wally. It was the one before.
Taz.
Yes, Taz. And then you bought Wally.
Yeah. And, he was an awesome horse. I mean, he kind of... we moved up, from prelim, to an E three star. But he was, such a main horse, and he's living a very life out in Wyoming.
Oh, nice!
Now, so he was an awesome horse, and it all worked with a little boy to bred it and everything. So.
Yeah, and then like you said, you got Wallaroo W from Boyd, and then you kind of took off with that for a while.
I mean, like I said, he was a awesome horse, and it was being able to go around Bromont and Fairhill and do all those big events on him was quite the experience, and he was a super horse, so both what he taught me and
yeah, for sure. And I guess it kind of brings us a little bit to what it is that you're doing now. So we obviously were talking to you at Maryland Five Star, and you were working with the young horses. You also just got back from Ireland, and it seems like you got a shiny new toy. Tell us a little bit about what you just brought home.
It's hard to go over there not just amazed by everything there. And then we were there for 3 days walked 3-year-olds and all of them home. But obviously, there was, I just, he had the energy jump and everything, so he's a 3 kind of mixture of everything. He's gone was a just awesome horse to ride over there, so I just kind of had to have him. So
yeah, and his name is Zeus, right? Is that his name?
Yeah.
And so you're kind of like associated with the Excel Star Sport Horses. Is that like who you went over with, and which that's like with Courtney Cooper?
I went over there with her last year, Bravo, the one I had at this year at Maryland, and then over this year again with her and Ashley here, and she there with us. To about everything and make sure medically okay and everything like that, which is a huge get off your shoulders, I think, just because it's over there to find a vet they trust and everything. So having her there is went over there for, I think they were there flying there for a few days need. and they make it so easy. Like they handle all the know, flights and transportation and everything. So it's, you don't have to worry about all that. So very easy.
That's nice. Now, do you think you're going to do this as like a yearly thing or maybe a couple times a year?
I think it'll probably be probably the ones once they turn five, they'll probably hit market. So, you know, I can try to finance business a little bit from that. The Bravo one I'll bring or something like that will probably be for sale.
Okay.
And then you will just kind of keep doing that. And then hopefully after, you know, if there's one that's really, really nice that I never want to sell, well, you know, I'll figure it out. But yeah, I think that'll kind of be what it'll be for the next while.
Okay. And then, so, and also in the meantime, you're also rider for Boyd and you're taking in, breaking all the young horses and getting them ready for him to hop on.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's probably the best part of my job, honestly. I mean, I've, you know, it was kind of odd how it all happened where I just, you know, had a couple upper level ones and I would start, you know, every now and then a couple. And then I kind of realizing that it was, you know, the exact thing I wanted to do. So, yeah, you know, taking these little weanlings and then, you know, you see them grow up and, you know, and then you know, they turn three and then, you know, you break them and then you take them to the first event when they're four and, you know, you've had a part of the whole, every part of it, you know, you've been, you know, there. So, no, it's like I said, it's definitely the best part of my job. So,
yeah, especially getting to see them win the Young Event Horse Championships and,
yeah,
you know, knowing that you're the one that actually broke them.
Yeah, no, I mean, I will take, you know, the one that Schmick Horse, he was already started. So I just had to kind of work with him a little bit. And then he was, you know, and then he hit the ground running. But no, I mean, like, Barbecue, the 4-year-old I had going this year. I mean, we've had him since he was a weanling, and then, you know, we have his full brother that we had have had as a weanling, and, you know, there's a whole long line of other ones we've all had since they were just little weanlings. So it's, you know, it's pretty cool to be a part of it. So.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned Barbecue. Barbecue is by, or out of, well, I don't know. Is it out of, or how's that work for it with On Cue?
Yeah. So, yeah. He is out of On Cue. And then we have his full brother who's a 3-year-old. So he'll be out on the 4-year-old events next year. So his name's Ruby Q.
I love the names. I remember when all those names were coming about. That was always fun. Now, I guess you guys are probably getting ready to head south. Or when do you guys actually go south? I know that like it has changed over the years.
Yeah, we are probably going to be going to Aiken probably the second weekend in January. Just cause, you know, we have the indoor now and knock on wood, the weather here has been really nice. So I, you know, it's kind of hard to not be staying up here a little bit more when we have a little more options and then just hacking up and down the road when it's snowing and icy. now we have the indoor, so the indoor has been, you know, amazing and it's, yeah, really changed it up a lot. So
yeah, and then you guys don't really stay down there very long either.
No, I think we were down there last year for like 7.5 weeks, 8 weeks.
Wow.
We went down middle of January and then back the week of the eventing showcase. So yeah, I think we were all the whole kind of crew was back up here early March.
Yeah, that's a quick turnaround.
Yeah, it is very quick. all that move-in just for such a short time. Now, do you prefer that, or do you stay in there longer?
Honestly, I mean, I, especially with like a lot of the, because we give all the young ones, you know, like the 5-year-olds, 4-year-olds, and 3-year-olds, they'll have the winter off. So they'll, you know, get their shoes pulled and they'll just kind of, you know, just hang out for, you know, 8 or 9 weeks. So, you know, I would, you know, when we're in Aiken, I last about 2 weeks and then I'm itching to get home. So, you know, it's, I think, you know, just with where, you know, what, you know, my role here, I mean, I love Aiken. It's, you know, a little bit warmer. It's not too much warmer, but it's a little bit warmer. You know, the place that we're at, Stable View, is, you know, it's beautiful and everything. So it's, you know, very nice to be there. But, you know, every now and then I would just kind of want to get home and get going on the young ones again.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Yeah. But Stable View is a,
it's a cool place.
Yeah. It's a really cool place. Very pretty.
Oh, yeah. No, we're very lucky to be there. And, you know, it has everything we could ever want. So
even the vacuum for the barn.
Unfortunately, that last year we didn't have that. So I guess something happened. Something happened with it. So RIP to the billy goat, because, you know, he, I think I had to, you know, get hung up.
I just remember that thing. I was like, wow, you could even vacuum the barn.
I know.
Now, did you say you still had the Bravo horse?
Yeah. I kind of put him on the market this, you know, late summer, early fall, and just the kind of the way it was, you know, no one really, you know, was not really interested, but just, you know, I just didn't really get a lot of contact on him. So I think, you know, he'll have the winter off, and then we'll get him back going, and then, like I said, he'll be, you know, on the market next summer, fall, or, you know, figure it out. So
And you did the young event horse 5-year-olds with him, is that correct? Four-year-olds. Okay.
Yeah.
And how do you do?
Really well. No, he was really good. I mean, obviously for a 4-year-old, like, that's a very large atmosphere, and it's amazing to have it at the big Maryland. Like, I think it's such an awesome opportunity for these young horses to be able to, you know, stable there and, you know, hack, you know, around these big rings and, you know, be able to be in that area. So he was really good. You know, he handled it like a very mature horse, and you know, a helicopter actually flew over him during our dressage test, and he like didn't even budge. So I was like, okay, like, I don't care. I don't care about anything else. Like, in my book, you won. So he was really good. And, you know, he's such a naturally brave and eager horse that I think it'll take him a little bit just to kind of learn to, you know, back himself off of jumps. But I think he has everything to be a proper upper level horse. So I'm very excited.
Yeah. Well, maybe there's a reason why you didn't sell him yet. You never know.
Maybe. That's what I keep telling myself. So
it's tough selling horses anyway.
I mean, especially when you're starting them and, you know, getting them all young and working them up. You know, it's tough.
Yeah, just, I don't know. Just advertising in general. It's takes a special person to actually like selling horses.
I know. I've never actually, like, I don't know. It's this whole selling horses thing is, it's hard, but you know, it's obviously part of it, and you have to do it. You have to be able to, you know, do it successfully to have any sort of longevity. So, yeah.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Brad, we are going to play quick fire questions.
Okay.
And quick fire questions is brought to you by Red and Goat Equestrian. Stay warm this winter and look good doing it by going to redandgoatequestrian.com. So, you know the show. 5 questions, but you don't have to be quick. All right. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. Favorite rider growing up?
Growing up was probably Ian Miller. Mm-hmm. I met him like one time, and it was like meeting, you know, Michael Jordan. Like I think I made him sign some random hat, and you know, that was amazing. So I think I was like eight or nine at the Royal Winter Fair. So that would be probably my favorite rider growing up.
And you know what? I do remember. So Ian is definitely your favorite rider because 5 years ago you were asked that question in the last episode, and you said Ian Miller.
well, there you go. I actually remembered something.
There you go. All right. Favorite event to compete at?
Probably Bromont. Yeah.
Sensing a theme.
Yeah. same thing I said. Yeah. No, I think it just has everything. I mean, it's, you know, the atmosphere is amazing. The courses are amazing. I mean, it's an added bonus. It's in Canada, but I mean, it's just, you know, you feel like you're in Europe, even though, you know, you only had to drive, you know, 10 and a half hours or 11 hours. So,
yeah. Now, how far did you grow up from Bromont?
It would be about 8 hours, I think. Okay. It was because I remember I was going to go to school near Bromont, and it was about 8 hours. So,
okay. All right. Do you have any good luck rituals or superstitions before you leave the start box?
No, I really try not to. I'm probably the most superstitious person ever. But I really try to not have any sort of like, you know, I used to have like music I would listen to when I was doing my like final course walk and stuff like that. So I guess that would be my only thing.
Okay.
All right.
Do you have any hobbies outside of riding?
Not really. I mean, I would, you know, I, you know, love to cook, but, you know, whenever I have energy to, it's pretty much, especially, I mean, we work probably 12 hours a day, so not really too much time, extra hobbies.
Yeah. You guys work long hours. Long hours. Oh my gosh. I just remember those days of like, it's 7 o'clock.
Coming are you to guys pick up done yet?
No. Yeah. All right. So, final question. If you could ride any horse, past, present, or fiction, who would it be?
Oh no. Jeez. I mean, Q is still, you know, one of my favorite horses, you know, I mean, just, you know, the way, just everything about her, I think kind of just is what an event horse is. But I think probably like if I were to go like past would probably be, you know, like a, I don't even know. I mean, there's just so many of them, but yeah, I think, I mean, any of the, you know, 90s event horses, you know, like they were just on another level. So I know it's not the best answer, but you know,
I'm trying to think one from the 90s. I'm trying to think.
I keep thinking of like early 2000s.
Early 2000s, maybe like something that went to like Athens Olympics or something like that would be pretty cool.
Like a Jam or a Connaught. type of arrow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah, like one of those just original event horses, I think would be pretty cool.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So any 90s horse.
Yeah, that's a very vague answer. I really couldn't come up with anything else.
Got to do my homework on that.
Yeah, I know. Right. Have to look it up.
Yeah, I might. Yeah. I have to put in another answer later.
That one. All right. Well, what do you get? What does he get?
A++.
There you go. You still pass. Perfect.
Awesome. Now, Brad, you've obviously have done quite a bit, and you're still a pretty young guy. You know, what advice do you give to, or would you give to any young rider looking to make it in this sport?
Honestly, I think the biggest thing that I've kind of realized is you just have to be able to learn as much as you can every, you know, second that you can. I mean, the worst thing you can do is just kind of be, you know, just there every day, just kind of checking off the days until you go home. I think, you know, you have to just make everything out of every day. And then, you know, also you just need to find some part of this eventing world that you love. I mean, whether it's, you know, grooming, whether it's, you know, vet work, whether it's being, you know, like working with young horses or whether, you know, anything like that, you just have to find some part of it that you just think about every minute of every day. And you kind of have to be a little bit obsessed with it to be successful, I think. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, very good advice. So do you recommend someone becoming a working student or just being just like a regular student? Like, what would you suggest?
No, I think being a working student is probably the best way to kind of be immersed in it all. I mean, you know, you can, you know, you're kind of around it every day, and you can kind of see how, you know, every barn works and everything like that. So I think, you know, if you want to do this as a job, you kind of have to be around it every day. So I think being a working student is probably the best way to kind of have that all happen. So
mm-hmm. yeah
for sure.
I agree. I think that it kind of, you learn, I feel like you learn more because you're there longer.
Mm-hmm.
And you exactly. Yeah, exactly.
And it's all just like the small stuff of even just something, you know, even if you don't think about it, like even just learning how to pick out a stall correctly, or at least the trainer's version of correctly, you know, it's all those kind of small details that add up. It's the horsemanship side of it.
Exactly. Yeah. You like kind of get to, you know, learn every aspect of, you know, every successful barn. So, yeah, I think that's definitely the best way to kind of get a start in mm-hmm. it.
Totally agree. All right. So, Brad, what we're going to do is we're going to wind things down a little bit. But we always love to give you the platform to highlight any sponsors or supporters that you may have. So who do you have behind you?
Yeah. So I have Druck Apparel, who I've had for, I've known them since they actually like started the company. So the twin sister of one of the owners of it was a working student with me at Carl's. Oh. So I've known them for what, like 12 years or something like that. Like it's been a long time. And so they, you know, when I went out on kind of, when I moved here, I kind of, you know, started getting sponsored by them, and they've taken off and they're just amazing. So, and then, I have Flexible Fit. They, do all my bridles, breastplates, and girths. So, you know, they've always given me something to hold on to when I'm on a young one. They're, you know, very, very grateful and for, you know, everything they've done. And then this year I actually just got Bates. So they've, you know, been amazing, and they've, you know, been just very you know, easy to work with, and the styles are awesome and everything. So yeah, those are the kind of the three main ones. So
awesome. Yeah, good stuff. I didn't know that about Struck Apparel. That mm-hmm. I like their stuff. I think their stuff is really neat. And but I didn't know about that.
Yeah, I mean, I've known Ashley and Kevin, who own the company, forever now. And you know, now they're sponsoring people in like all over the world. So it's pretty cool to be a small part of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, cool. It's like, I think even with Struck, I think somehow maybe you and Joe swap pants at one point, and then Joe and I ended up swapping pants. So I got a pair of the Strucks, and that's probably my favorite pair of pants. Like, those things are nice.
Yeah. No, I think I remember that. I think I got like a whole new package, and I had an old pair, and I said, you know, here you go, Joe, you know, you can have these ones. So I'm sure that's where you ended up getting those.
Yeah, I don't know how I got them, but I like them.
Yeah. There you go. I think those are like the original ones. So you have an antique.
There you go.
Starting to show somewhere, you know, a little hole in the pocket. So you got to figure that out, but no, yeah, that's nice.
Yeah,
right. Have to get yourself a new pair.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
And Brad, how would people follow along with everything that you have going on?
Okay. Yeah. I have a Instagram. It's just at Champagne Eventing, all one word. I just got on the whole TikTok craze. I'm terrible at it, but if you want to see some videos of baby horses, they're on there. And then Facebook is just Bradley Champagne. I have an athlete page that I try to keep up on. So
yeah, no, you do a good job with that. I do keep up with that. Mm-hmm. So you do a good job with that. I have to check out your TikTok though.
it's mediocre. I'm slowly learning.
Awesome. Well, we'll link that all to the show notes so everyone can just follow along. And Brad, this was great. It was great catching up with you, and best of luck with everything.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. It was awesome to chat with you guys again. So.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe and never miss an episode of the Major League Eventing Podcast.